I know it's been said a few times now, but I indeed want to say Happy Mother's Day. It is a special day for me. It is our Heavenly Father's Day, of course. But what a blessing it is for me personally, because I am at worship today with my mother and my mother-in-law. See, that's a blessing, right? Today, you saw come before you Dawson, a grandson. And then he read Scripture to us. And then you saw a grandfather, Danny, come and read Scripture to us. And in those two readings, you saw that Dawson read from Paul to Timothy how Paul was praising his grandmother and mother. And then what Danny read to us, yes, I know, went to the patriarchs of the family, but don't think those mamas didn't do some writing too on those doorposts. You see, behind Danny, behind Dawson, were great mothers. And many of us today are here, like them, like me, because of great mothers. There is an old country song that has a verse in it that reads like this: I'd gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat. I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams, when all your hopes are sinking, let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. You see, in that song, I know it was a love song written about the way a man and woman could ultimately love each other. But here's the neat thing about that song. It was sang by a mother and a daughter. You see, that love can build a bridge is not just poetry. It's reality. Again, many of us are here today because somebody built a bridge for you and built a bridge for me. When we were most stubborn, they loved us anyway. When we were as broken can be, and no one else was there, they stood beside us anyway. Even when there are those of us today who were far away from God, they kept praying. Love built a bridge. And I'm thankful to God that we walked across it. And for many of us, that bridge had a name. And that name is Mom. Today, I encourage you that if you have had a mother or still have a mother that prayed for you, that taught you Jesus loves you, Jesus loves the little children, if you had or have a mother that brought you to Sunday school and even on occasion may have taught it, if you have had a mother that when your heart was broken, And they prayed for you during those broken times. If you had a mother who encouraged you even through those rebellion years, whether it be teenage, whether it be college, who said, hey, this Mother's Day, I want you to come to worship with me. And ultimately, you, because of that bridge, walked across it to know Jesus Christ. When you go home and you say your prayers today, get on your knees and thank God for that mother. Today, it is Mother's Day. Today, it is always our Father's, Heavenly Father's Day. And so what I want to do today is tie those two together and base it on the Scripture of what a mother's life can teach us. Mothers who loved their children even loved them to the very end. The first one I want to invite you to is found in Proverbs 31. And I know what you're thinking already. He's going to verse 10. If you are thinking that, I'm not. You see, Proverbs 31 beginning in verse 10 is very fitting for today. In fact, I would encourage all of the mothers here, the future mothers here, the wives here, the future wives here, and all the ones in between, those who are looking for those things in a spouse, in a future mother of their children, read Proverbs 31 beginning in verse 10. And there you're going to find what the proverb writer recorded as the virtuous woman. But Proverbs 31 doesn't begin in verse 10. It begins in verse 1. And so today I want you to think about this mother who we don't know her name, but we do know her son was a king, King Lemuel. And in King Lemuel's mother, she wrote some words today that first of all remind us a mother's burden builds a life. Begin with me in verse 1 and let's read through verse 9. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Remember, this is a mother's words to her son. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Go back to verse 1 with me and hear these words again. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. The word there, oracle. You know, we may not use that word all the time, but you hear that word. That word is from the Hebrew word massa. And in the Hebrew word massa, this is just Terry. Now, that is real. That's from the Hebrew word massa. But I hear the word mass. And to me, mass, if you're thinking about moving mass or moving something, it has some weight to it, right? And so I want you to remember it that way. That word oracle is massa in the Hebrew, and it means burden. In other words, this is a mother who is burdened to tell her son these things. Why? Because mamas love their children. And they carry that burden with them for all the days of their lives. Even if they were kings, even if they were presidents, even if they were the most successful that secular society could say, that mother's heart is always carrying that burden. She is saying to her son, the king, "Son, this matters too much for me and for you to get it wrong." Here's what she said. Again, a mother's burden builds a life of success. Here's what she said. Break it down. The mother is guarding his character, number one. Listen to verse 3. "Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings." What if Bathsheba would have said those words to Solomon? Think of that. Maybe this is what this mother learned throughout history, and now her son is the king. He said, "Don't give your strength, your ways to foreign women who will destroy you and your kingdom." In other words, she's saying this. Can we take this with us today? Watch your relationships. Can I just take an aside and say that maybe I don't teach on this and preach on this as much as I should? You want to get rid of a burden, mamas? Get on your hands and knees, fathers too. Get on your hands and knees right now in your own personal life, in your own war room, wherever it is, and pray every single day that your future Christian child will marry a future Christian spouse. And hear me out on that. There are a lot of us who are converted today. A lot who are converted today dated someone who led you to Christ. But I still think it's easier to marry a Christian if we also date them. Maybe we don't teach on that enough. Maybe that's why we've looked around us and seen that the nuclear family has been destroyed. Satan got a foot in the door back in the Garden of Eden, and he's had it in the family ever since. We need future Christian husbands marrying Christian wives and raising Christian families. This was this burden of this mother, and it ought to be a burden for us as parents today. Pray. Raise your child in a way that Jesus Christ wants you to. And then pray that there is another family out there raising a spouse for them in the future. This mother also tells her son, in trying to guard his character, be careful who influences your heart. Can I just say again how incredibly important that is? Who are we allowing our children to associate with? My father used to say, "You're hanging with the wrong crowd." What he was saying is, get people that will encourage you to stay out of trouble, to stay out of a bad reputation. Are we allowing our children to go into homes and to spend time with people that don't care about their children's salvation? You see, I look around, and I'm not saying that's here. I'm not saying that's at Azalea City, okay? But I can look around on social media and throughout the world and say that there are so many parents that are more interested in their kids' popularity than their kids going to heaven. Maybe this is a heavy burden I'm carrying, and I need to preach it today. Do we actually care about our children? Let me say, I'll never forget the first time I laid eyes on my son and my daughter right out of the being born. And I remember looking and saying how amazing our God is. For Bo, Michelle and I and so many others, 7 straight years, multiple times a day, for her to get pregnant. I could tell you the story, and I've told the story. I don't have the time to tell it today, but let me tell you, it was all God. And so said, after 7 years, he said, Terry, I'm giving you this son. And then later on, this daughter. But you know what else he said? He said, I want them back. They're only on loan. Are we doing everything we can to carefully help our children know the right influences on their heart? Listen, it's not popular to say you can't have social media. They're going to be upset because all their friends have it. They're going to pitch a fit. They're going to do these things. Maybe they won't, but some will. Do we really need... I don't know. There have been so many times if I didn't have an outreach to people on Facebook, I would have already deleted it many times. I don't know that I need it. And I've been a Christian a lot longer than some people that are letting their children and others have these things. I'm just asking you to listen to the words of this mother to her son. She then says, who you walk with determines where you end up. So number one, she was guarding her child's character, who's also the king, right? Secondly, in this burden, she's trying to direct and build his life, she's guarding his judgment. Listen to verses 4 and 5, Proverbs 31. It is not for kings to drink wine, lest they forget what has been decreed. In other words, don't let anything cloud your thinking. You hear the term, be sober-minded, biblically? And that's great advice for all of us, right? Now, you might say, I don't have any problems with intoxicating drink, and I'm thankful to God you don't. Nor do I. But there may be other things that are clouding our soberness, that are clouding our minds, our judgment. In saying this, she's saying, don't lose clarity in a compromised moment. You're going to be faced with situations all the time. You need to be clear, be able to make the right decision. She's saying one bad decision can undo years of good ones. Isn't that great advice today? This mother, in telling her son, is also saying, son, I'm guarding your compassion. Verses 8 and 9, open your mouth for the mute. Goes on to say, defend the rights of the poor and needy. She's saying, stand up for people. Use your position to protect others. Don't be successful only. Be righteous. Be a good person. If you go back and read it, at the beginning, did you hear what it said? The words of King Lemuel. But it came from his mother. Think of that. He said, these are the words I remember my mother taught me. And they're recorded in our Bibles for us today. A mother's voice echoes long after she's done speaking. But I want to leave this story. And I want to take you to number two today. A mother's faith certainly builds confidence. Today I want to take you to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, you're going to see several things there, but three things I want you to remember and focus on. We won't read this whole thing. We'll read some verses. There's a wedding. This is in Cana of Galilee. And just drawing conclusions from the story, it appears that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is in charge of what we would call the reception. And there is, number two, a problem. She's in charge of this wedding reception per se, and now there's a problem because they have ran out of wine. But then thirdly, you see a mother who knows exactly where to go. Look at verse 3 of John 2. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now, in my reading and understanding of this, and again, they didn't have the movies to go to, right? They didn't have Topgolf to go to. They didn't have all these fun and entertaining things. You know what they did? They went to weddings. And it was entertaining. And it was a time of celebration. And many people may have been poor, and this was a time for them to be able to partake in some things that maybe only fancy and wealthy people could, like wine and good food and all that. So if you go to a place like this and you run out of food or you run out of wine, you're now going to be the talk of the town. Mary knows all that. But notice she didn't panic. She didn't run around, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" and cause this uproar. She turned to Jesus. See, she trusted who Jesus was. Now again, you think about Jesus in this situation, honoring His mother. You know what He tells her? And again, not being disrespectful here, it's just the way it's interpreted and the way we say it. "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" In other words, it's not my time. Because here's what's going through God in the flesh's mind. When I do this, the secret will be out. They're going to know who I am. And once this public ministry, or this ministry becomes public, I've got 3 years. 3 years before I go to the cross. Mary doesn't know all that. But somewhere between, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My time has not yet come." And verse 5, Mary's trust for Jesus was unbelievable. Listen to what she says. "His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever He tells you.'" Ironically, these are the last words recorded of Mary in all of Scripture. I don't know what my last words will be. But man, it'd be great if my last words were, "Do whatever Jesus tells you." If we live that one sentence, marriages would be much stronger. Homes would be much healthier. Churches would be full and unified. Faith would be deeper and deeper. Everything changes in life for us when we do what He says do. Mary doing this, saying this, shaped obedience in others. Notice the servants didn't argue with her. They didn't question her. Why? Because this was Jesus. This was Mary. And Mary knew what her son could do. That obedience led to a transformation. John 2, 7 through 9. You'll remember Jesus took the water, filled these water pots. He turned them to wine. It was the best wine they'd had, remember? Why'd you bring you put the best wine out last. Jesus gave simple commands here. Again, obedience led to transformation. He said, "Fill the jars, draw from them, take it to the master." And in their obedience, think about this, He took water now, something very ordinary, and it became extraordinary. Because water in Terry's hands is water. The water in the hands of Jesus is the best wine the Master's ever had. But all of it came, all the obedience, the transformation, all of that came because of the advice of a mother like Mary. If we could take Mary's advice today, let's fill our lives with Jesus. Let's draw strength from His Word. And just like they took that wine to the Master, let's take His message to others. Because a mother's faith built confidence in servants, and it built confidence in everybody that was there that day. But then finally this morning, I want you to know a mother's love builds a legacy. Now we're going to move in Scripture from a wedding to a cross. Brother Jesse in his prayer referenced this morning. Again, that's the power of God, right? Turn in your Bibles to John 19, please. John 19. Verses 25 through 27. Here's what John records. But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. I know there's some mamas in here going through some hard things today. Your babies are graduating. Maybe they're graduating kindergarten. They're graduating high school. They're graduating college. Some have gone into the military. Some are getting married. Some are having babies. That we could go on and on, right? Some are thousands of miles away from their mothers. Here's the reality. All of those things are hard. All of those things may bring tears. But if we put all that in the middle and think about what Mary is experiencing, we'd probably gladly take those things back. Mary is standing at the foot of the cross watching her son be killed for everybody who's ever walked and will walk this earth. And Jesus, who was on the cross for 6 hours, Virgil, who didn't say many things from the cross, who struggled just to get a breath. He had to rake His back up and down that tree just to breathe. How many things were on His mind? He's doing His Father's will. He's fulfilling prophecy. He's fulfilling Scripture. He's got all these disciples who are scattered everywhere. Did they really get it? I need them to bring my church, my kingdom. How many things are on Jesus? You think you got a lot on your mind? How much was on Jesus' mind in those 6 hours? I don't know. But I know one thing on His mind. His mother. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved, that's John, by the way, standing nearby, He said to His mother, now think, see the scene, Jesus on the cross, His mother's right there, His friend, John, He didn't say His own name, but that's who He's talking about. He's saying to John about His mother and His mother about John, woman, mother, Mary, behold your new son, your son. He's saying, Mom, John is going to be your son. And then He said to John, the disciple, behold your mother, John, my mother will become your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. Jesus, despite all the things going on the cross, He honored His mother even in all that pain and agony. He thought about His mother. You see, real love always shows up. Even when it hurts, Jesus wanted to make sure that when He was gone, His mother would be taken care of. In doing that, Jesus is honoring and taking care of what His mother built. Remember, His mother raised Him. There comes a point in time in Jesus' life that Joseph is gone. I have no idea that Joseph died. Whether he's dead, whether he's left, whatever it may be, he's not there. And Mama had a lot of one-on-one time with Jesus. I know she had other children as well, but think about that. In all of that, she is raising Him up. That same mother who, when He went missing, said, "We got to turn this caravan around. We got to go back and find my baby," who just happens to be the Son of God. Jesus is taking care of what she built. She raised Him, and now He's making sure she's cared for. In other words, so that godly love can continue. Her legacy lived through Him. Think of that. Listen, Mary was human just like we're human. Mary was no more special than we are special. But she was chosen to carry and raise the Son of God. And because she did a great job, did she do a perfect job? You know she didn't. But even on the cross, all the way to the grave, all the way to the resurrection, all the way to the right hand of God, her legacy through Him lives on. You see, we should desire love like that. Sacrificial love. Consistent love. Unconditional love. We also need to listen like that. We need to hear what God is telling us to do and follow God through Jesus Christ. But then we also need to look out for others like that. Let's don't just care about ourselves. Let's care about others. Let's live beyond self. And let's think about it this way. Some of you are here today because your mom prayed for you, taught you, brought you to church, and refused to give up on you. Now others didn't have that, but you're still here today. You know why? If it was a mother, if it was somebody else, if it was a father, if it was a grandparent, whoever it was, someone, as we said in the beginning, built a bridge for you to find Jesus. Now some of us may be standing at the foot of that bridge, and we haven't crossed it yet. I want you to hear one more time the words of the mother of Jesus. Do whatever He tells you to do. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing today to cross that bridge? That bridge that can build your heart to God's through Jesus Christ. Today, if you're here with your mother and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what a gift, right? That's what your mother's been praying for. That's what so many others have been praying for. Cross that bridge. Obey Jesus. Be immersed into His life with your entire being. Maybe you're a mother today. Maybe you're a father today. Maybe you're a child today. Maybe you're just someone who's here today that you need to come home. Maybe you think it's intimidating, and I hope it's not. People love you if you walk this aisle and you confess and we pray for you. But if that's too much for you, find an elder today. Have them pray for you. Do something. Maybe you just need to do it right there in your seat. I can't think of a better day to do it or a better time than right now. Today, literally, and every day the rest of our lives, do whatever Jesus tells us to do. And let's start right now together. We stand and sing.